Around the Horn, where we have four competitors and four mute buttons and lots of buttons that go up and down. I got these filters here, a band word there, a little bit of fire for you. I can push the guys back and forward and do anything we want. But the point is, that's nothing compared to the Pace Home Run Derby sets. Let's go around the horn.
Hard to keep up.
Let's all
give a good thought. They picked up the speed of this thing. It is frenetic now, isn't it? For better or worse. I don't know. You can make a ruling on that. Home Run Derby lunacy. 41 home runs in round one for Julio Rodriguez in front of the home fans. Unbelievable laser show. Pete Alonso mashed some really tough pitches and lost by 20. But of course, Rodriguez, after 4,000 swings in 3 minutes, a little tired by round two, and he went out. Adley Rutschman, by the way, both sides of the plate, the switch hitter hit home runs from. A Rosarena, some missiles, but in the end, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., just like his old man 16 years earlier, home run derby champion. Bill, I know you love this. You were watching, you were rooting and predicting Mookie Betts. Guerrero's the champ, but who won the derby?
Poor Mookie said he just didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to swing for a home run. He was lost.
And exhausted.
Adley Rutschman. Adley Rutschman stole the show in the home run derby. In 38-year history of the derby, nobody's ever before swung from both sides of the plate. 21 home runs left-handed,
cool.
7 home runs right-handed. He was awesome. His dad was pitching to him. It's a ballpark he went to as a kid because he grew up in Oregon. Yeah. It was a perfect storybook tale. He should have won. I wish he'd have won. I was cheering for him.
Gordy Cronin, who won the derby?
What Julio Rodriguez did last year at Dodger Stadium in the first round was record-breaking, and then to do it in front of his home fans in the first round, 41 home runs. Like, try to think about that number. 10 in under 1 minute, 20 in under 2 minutes. Pete Alonso at the end of it, even though he lost by 20, had to go up to him and say, wow. And that's exactly what I'm saying. 61 in total. He only hit 20, and I use my air quotes there, only hit 20 because he was so gassed in the second round. But the coolest part of this, he teamed up with Alaska Airlines, and their promotion from this, they're giving out 61 free flights in honor of his 61 home runs. I want to sign up for that.
A lot of miles in his home runs. I think if you were measuring, it was over 3 miles of home runs. David Dennis Jr., who won the derby?
Pardon me for going with the guy who won the derby, Vladimir Guerrero, 16 years after his dad did. Incredible moment there for them to share. And he beat the juggernaut Mookie Betts in the first round, who Bill guaranteed was going to win the home run derby a few days ago. So for him to come back and win, that one is amazing. But beyond that, the guy who I was most impressed with was replacement pitcher Aaron Meyers, who was throwing Alonso heaters. He was throwing sliders. Like, was he trying to get on a roster
incredible
or something? He was giving some nasty stuff.
You don't want your home run derby pitcher to have an incredible spin rate, but incredible spin rate from Alonso's pitcher. And it was Real Gutierrez.
Once again, to me, the derby won the derby. Fast baseball, baby. It is here to stay. And the derby has been doing this for a while. Ever since they went to the rule where you don't have to wait for the ball to land, it felt initially like sensory overload. But now that's what everybody wants, sensory overload. You want 5 screens at a time. It used to be where Chris Berman could fit in a back every once in a while. And now you just got to, you know, maybe try to keep
up.
So
it works.
And then when you have all that excitement, all the players are so many different storylines. You don't need one superhero to carry the derby. You have so many here. And Rodriguez, there have been 8 rounds of 30 or more home runs. He has 3 of them, and he's 22 years old. So he's crazy impressive. But as David said, the winner was the winner. I mean, the father-son combo of Vlad Jr. and Vlad Sr. having won it after Vlad Jr. not winning it the other in 2019. It was a great home run derby.
I know we're having fun with it and who won, even though we had a winner. But really, the pace of it. Did you find it at all? Made it more difficult to watch, to enjoy, or to track the baseballs, Bill?
No, it was tremendous. Okay. I love the pace. But am I really going to get 0 points for Mookie Betts hitting 11 home runs? Come on. He did his best.
I love you, Bill. I love that we picked who would win the home run derby, and we're holding you accountable. Courtney, is it all right? Is the pace all right?
It is, but I felt like Randy Arozarena in the final round got gypped a home run or two. I was watching like how it was getting tracked, and it felt like it was not syncing up correctly. Okay. Just want to put that out.
I will say this, though. At one point, you know, there's so many balls in the air, and you've got young kids shagging flies that don't make it, but Those aren't flies. Those are 115-mile-per-hour, 330-foot bombs. And somebody got hit in the head. They were okay. But there's a lot going on there. It's frenetic, much like this show. We've been horned. We'll move on. A discussion now about the hazing story that is national news. Northwestern football firing head coach Pat Fitzgerald. That was not the first course of action, also part of the story. A school investigation that began in January led to 2 weeks summer suspension for Fitzgerald, as the university announced this past weekend. The investigator could not confirm Fitzgerald knew hazing was going on in the program. It was only after the school's newspaper, the Daily Northwestern, reported details of the alleged hazing and the response to that, that the school acknowledged forced participation, nudity, and sexualized acts of a degrading nature were in clear violation of Northwestern's policies and values. Here, what a former player alleges to have been the program-wide method. Older players wearing masks would restrain younger players in a dark locker room, engage in sexualized behavior, with Fitzgerald signaling for players to be added to the list with a specific clapping motion during practice. That's the allegation. In a statement, Fitzgerald maintained no knowledge whatsoever of any form of hazing within the program. He has hired lawyers. There's also this letter of support from the team for Fitzgerald, signed the entire team. There is a lot here, and these things often have an energy of their own, as you saw with the reporting over the last week. Courtney, what does Northwestern and college football have here today?
An institutional failure of the nth degree on the university and on the football team itself. Tony, when Michael Schill initially suspended Pat Fitzgerald for 2 weeks, this was a Friday news dump. They hoped they could sweep this under the rug, that he would come back in time for the season to get started, and it wouldn't be a story. Michael Schill only did the right thing when he felt public pressure to do so, and that was after the story came out from the Daily Northwestern with all of the details about what was allegedly happening inside of the locker room. The issue I have here is that, as we know from the independent investigation, Pat Fitzgerald allegedly had no direct knowledge of what was going on with his team in regards to hazing, but the report said that he had opportunity to find out. If you were the leader of a football team, the leader of young men trying to turn them into functional members of society, it is on you to figure out how to find out that information. I looked. They had 24 staffers, assistant coaches, support staff members. That doesn't even include the GAs, the equipment people that could have told Pat Fitzgerald about this. He could have empowered them as a leader to let them know, it's okay, you can tell me what's going on in this locker room if I can't have my eyes on everything. He didn't do that. As President Truman said, the buck stops here and it stops with the person who's the head of the football program.
David Dennis Jr.
I want to first acknowledge in some bright light here, and that these students and the nation where we are shuttering sports departments across the country, these students are showing the importance of sports journalism, and the future is bright. Now, with that said, I want to speak as somebody who got his master's from Northwestern, talk about the institutional malpractice that is going on here. And Courtney said the buck stops here. The buck stops beyond the coach. It stops at the president, who to this point has only written letters and will not stand up and answer questions about why he initially only gave 2 weeks of a penalty when this should have been fireable from the beginning. This is about more than that football team, because you have to acknowledge the fact that the baseball coach is also under scrutiny for the way that he is treating he treated his players. And also, beyond that story, there are stories of former football players who have dealt with racism from that coach and the way that they were treated, in addition to a report of 2021 of a cheerleading coach who was taken out for that same exact racism, which I might mention is the same type of unwelcome feeling that Al felt during that entire year that I was at Northwestern. So this needs to be addressed beyond the football and firing that coach, and that is at the president to handle the institutional just malpractice and the problem that they are having, that they are treating all of these students, so many of these students at that institution.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, when Michael Schill said that the investigation found that the hazing was widespread and clearly not a secret, I mean, that's enough to show you that if something is widespread within your program, the head coach should absolutely understand what is happening or know what is happening. It doesn't matter if it was something even less serious than this hazing allegation. You're talking about Fitzgerald, who's been with the program as a head coach, as an assistant coach, as a player for 20 plus years. He should know this program like the back of his hand. And I really don't give much credit to the players supporting Fitzgerald here, because allegedly some of those players were participating in these acts. Allegedly, they're protecting a coach who might have known more than he's letting on here. So I don't really take much into what the team has to support him. And I think Pat Fitzgerald, rather than taking legal matters and trying to fight for himself, should be embarrassed that he allowed this to happen. He is old enough to understand this has happened multiple times where teams or coaches get programs taken away from them because of a lack of institutional control, and none of them, or a lot of them, have not even been as ugly as this.
I want to broaden it just a little bit as we turn to you, Bill Plaschke, because I know you've covered in your own market stories of hazing before. And we're talking about one particular incident here, but we're talking about a culture in team sports, both in college and even in high school. Please, Bill.
This is huge. This is bigger than Northwestern. This is a school president of a supposed academic powerhouse bowing to the head coach. He knew, Michael Shill, the president, knew that 11 current or former players corroborated the evidence of hazing, and he still let Fitzgerald off the hook for just 2 weeks suspension this summer before he got caught. He trivialized hazing, and you know what? Administrators all over this country trivialize hazing. It's happened everywhere. And think about it, if a place like, again, a supposed academic powerhouse like Northwestern, if it can happen there, where else is it happening? Where administrators are thinking, well, this is just boys will be boys, or athletes will be athletes, or kids will be kids. Shame on all of them. And I think every athletic leader in this country needs to look at his program or her program right now and see where, if there's hazing, what extent it is, how important it is. This is a huge issue that, again, if it happened at Northwestern, it can happen anywhere.
Well, it's precisely true, and that's why it's so insidious. This isn't the only hazing story. This summer, we saw Harvard hockey just this past week, this women's hockey team. And that's what, it's not just as easy as firing a coach while there's legal surely about to happen. It's about ridding a culture. Courtney, I'll give you the last word.
Northwestern is a place that is postured. It is above the meathead ideology that is so often found in football locker rooms. As Bill brought up, there are stringent academic requirements for admission within athletics, too, was supposed to hold them to a higher degree. And it's very clear that they've failed in making
standards. I think of it like this. You can't separate the college part of college sports, right? Just put this happening in a maths class or in a psychology class. It's an absolute no. So that's why it also should be an absolute no in all college high school sports. We must acknowledge the Daily Northwestern story reported by Nicole Marcus, Alice Brown, Cole Reynolds, and Divya Bardwaj of the Daily Northwestern.
Congrats to them.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
Victor Wembanyama's summer break. Spurs say he'll take time off from gameplay and public sessions as he's been playing and doing the things required as far as availability nonstop since the start of his French season. His two summer league games came with a microscope on a laser inside a magnifying glass and a particle accelerator. Those are some of his stats. Bill, were two games enough for you, and what was your takeaway from those?
My first takeaway was that he played two games in 3 days. We won't see that again the rest of the season. Pop's going to keep him under lock and key for most of the season. He'll be a little managed. But I thought he was great. He finished the way I thought he would finish. 27-14. He had first game jitters. Second game, he was great, played great defense. He had a dunk over a guy like a four foot away from the basket. He dunked the ball. I mean, this guy's like a freak of nature.
All right, so your takeaway is both that he's got a load management season ahead of him. Before he's even played a game, he needs some load management, okay? And that he lived it up to your expectation. Cronin, how about you?
Two games is more than enough. We already saw Scoot Henderson get injured in his first game. Amen Thompson's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks with an ankle injury. Victor Wembanyama said that when he decided he wasn't going to play for France in the FIBA World Cup, that he wants to dedicate this summer to focusing on preparing his body for the many events that he has coming up over the next couple of years. Well, getting ready for the regular season instead of playing in games that for him are effectively meaningless. He's not trying to make the roster. He's already going to be on the team. It's time to shut it down and make sure that he can actually get his body
and
ready.
And your overall review of those two games, the 2 of 9 from three in the first game, the 27 points in the second game?
I appreciated the bounce back in game two.
Okay. David Dennis Jr.?
This is everything you can hope for from Wemby. The first game, yes, there were jitters, and part of it was him missing a bunch of shots that he usually makes, but even then he had 5 blocks, so even in his worst game, he's Rudy Gobert defensively, and he came back on the second game and was unstoppable. They couldn't do anything about him. That putback dunk that he had next game was nobody else in the league can do that. This is the Wemby experience.
But you said he missed a lot of shots in the first game he usually makes. This was the first game. We don't know what he usually makes, right?
How
the stats, he shot 27% from three in France. Go ahead, Gutierrez.
We've seen enough to know what he has to work on, right? That first game, I think, was more of a result of a guy who really wasn't ready to get back on the court. And he talked about this. So much of his days leading up to this have not been about basketball. And I think that's what he wants to get back to, sort of his safety room, his basketball court, really work on things, really work on the Spurs system. And I think that second game was enough to make him feel good about his summer league experience, and now he moves on.
So the hype still with all of you people. You're not ticking it down a dial. After those two games,
he's still a prospect.
We'll move on.
He's still got a lot to work on.
Chris Paul, when asked about coming off the bench, here we go.
You coaching?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what the situation is going to be yet. Me and Steve have talked or whatnot, but that ain't something that you'd be like, "What up, man? Where you starting? You coming off?" You know what I mean? So I think we'll figure all that stuff out in camp.
All right, so buy or sell Paul being comfortable coming off the bench, and buy or sell this being a problem for Golden State down the road, Israel.
I'm selling this being the time where Paul has to answer that question. I'm in agreement with him. You've got a team with Steph Curry on it, with Steve Kerr as the head coach. He might potentially find a way to utilize Chris Paul in the starting lineup. He might consider benching Klay Thompson instead and using him with the second unit, because the idea of using Chris Paul with the younger, faster second unit, how much more sense does that make than him finding a way to work with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Wiggins, and the other starters? So it's not the time for him to answer that if Steve Kerr hasn't addressed
it. Well, Flashkey, how'd you hear it?
I thought Chris Paul was beyond all this. I was wrong. He's still antagonistic. He's still stirring it up. This is not going to work. Mm. If he thinks he needs to start, this is not going to work.
I put it right now.
Save this take. By the middle of the season, they will trade him. He will not work in Golden State with this attitude. That's not a hot take.
That's
real take.
That's not a hot take.
By the end of the season.
You're calling it over. Phil, I appreciate how much you think things can be over before they even start. But here we are in July. First media availability,
mid-season.
Basically, and you're saying it's
mid-season,
over.
They're going to trade him.
Gordy Cronin, how do you see it?
Didn't see that coming. What does he think? Stephen Curry's going to come off the bench and it's not him? I mean,
right.
I doubt he's going to be a primary starter, but he will end up starting some games. It's just a matter now of telling somebody a role that they haven't ever played before. He's clearly bristling at it because it's not something he wants to necessarily do, but they brought him there to command the second unit, to help, obviously, how successful of a pick-and-roll player he's been. They need that from him, but it's not going to be with the starters predominantly.
David Dennis Jr.,
everything's fine. Chris Paul, who, by the way, I've never said a bad word about, knows that he is coming off the bench. The Warriors starting five is the best starting five in the league. They are not breaking that up. What Chris Paul is there for is to raise the ceiling of Moody and Kuminga in that second lineup, and hopefully maybe even close some games. That's the important part of where he's going to be in that game.
Does Chris Paul know that?
He knows that. He absolutely knows it.
Flashkey, it's
he
over.
He doesn't know that.
David Dennis Jr., you walked into a mute there. Cronin, Gutierrez, that's our showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy.
I have a list of 25 greatest All-Star moments. I love the All-Star game. Don't have a chance to show you all now. This one's before my birth, of course, but I just know it from history. But every All-Star game gets remembered for something. So as you make your who you got pick, American or national, let me ask you this. What's the memory we'll all be remembering tomorrow from tonight? Courtney, around the horn to you.
The Angels have exactly 3 weeks to figure out whether they're going to trade Shohei Ohtani. I'm excited to see what these recruiting pitches are like tonight, Tony. This is going to be fun to see.
Oh, you think we're
going to
have some mic'd up players pitching for Ohtani? Okay. And Israel?
There's two things I'm looking for. I'm going to remember what time I get to bed tonight. I want a tidy game. I need that pitch clock to really do its job. And then I'm looking for celebrations on home runs in the dugouts. I want those to be otherworldly.
I'll give you that. But pitch clock. You know, this is the game you kind of want to moment last if you're a player in the batter's box. Don't rush them along. We'll move on.
No time for this.
Wimbledon. Chris Eubanks, the American, number 43 in the world. And he's on a heater, advancing to the quarterfinals after taking out Stefanos Tsitsipas in five sets. It's the first time he's ever made the second week of a major. Israel, breath of fresh air for American tennis or something more here with you, Bill?
It'll be something more if he wins one more, because he's got Daniil Medvedev in the next round, number 3 overall. And Tsitsipas has kind of lost a couple of head scratchers in the past, but man, is he fun to watch. So long, so athletic, gets to everything. Love watching him.
The United States has waited 20-plus years to get a men's Grand Slam champion, and with three of their top 15 out, Eubanks, who most of us didn't know who he was yesterday, gives them the best chance to get there.
Cordy Cronin, please, the time is yours.
Thank you. My grandmother passed away at the age of 102 years old, peacefully, in her home on Saturday evening. She was a huge fan of Around the Horn. Last Thursday, she got to see me win the show. It was her last show. She made it appointment viewing every time I was on. It means the world to me that I got to share this with her in her later years. I will miss you every day. And I can't wait to see you on the 19th tee in heaven eventually.
We love you, Courtney, and your grandma. Janice Bruce saw so many things in an incredible 102 years. Just think of that. But I will tell you this. She will never have been more proud of anything in her life, I'm sure, than seeing her granddaughter succeed like this. See you tomorrow.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.